Good evening, good afternoon, or good day, I should say. I'm very privileged to have you all listening to this podcast, and especially privileged to have our guest speaker for tonight. This is Giant Fork and Spoon. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, guest caller, introduce yourself to the listening audience.
My name is Chef Marcos Asensio. Hello, everybody. Good evening.
Yeah, Mr. Marcos and I met working for the same organization, and now he's moved on to another opportunity, and we do miss him, but I was glad when I ran into him that he agreed to be on the broadcast today. So how was it for you? What did you experience dealing with After School Matters and CCAP?
First of all, I do miss you guys. It was one of the hardest decisions I think I've had to make of leaving such program. A little background of how I just came with working with CCAP. Worked at Park Hyatt Hotel for so many years. Got to work with many great chefs. Ran the place pretty much.
Okay.
Took some time off. A friend of mine was like, hey, I think we want to open up a place out in Glencoe. Or would you like to be part of it? I said, sure. And I came on board to like a standalone place, which was very difficult from going to a corporate environment or a place that kind of had a lot of money. And I was never asked that no. Hey, can I buy this? Sure. Hey, can I get this other stuff? Sure. So then I had to change that mentality. Then I get an opportunity to, I was asked, would you like to teach? I was like, I've never thought of that. But I've always worked with children, even while I was in college. And I did some mentoring, and so I really enjoyed doing that, just getting other kids. You know, I really didn't have that growing up. So I figured, you know, I could do it to somebody else. And that would be, you know, great. And so I tried it. I was scared. I will be honest. I was like, you know what? They sold me on, you're going to have summers off. You don't have to work as many hours and the weekends off. And I was like, okay, great.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the 2 years that I was there, I never had the summer off. and I still work on weekends. So, but other than that, it was definitely an experience that we'll never forget. And, you know, I know that I really enjoyed it, and it just made me actually a better chef, where I learned patience, learned how to teach people, because then I learned different skills, different techniques, and how
Absolutely.
People learn. You know,
yeah.
You have people like, okay, I could tell person A, hey, do me this, and he'll do it, and then person B, I'm going to have to show him, then you show me, and then let's do it together, you know, so that definitely helped me out. And that's helped me, and that's where I first heard about CCAP, and I loved just the first, the After School Matters. I would have loved to have had that program when I was in high school, and I think it was only home ec, and by the time that we had that, it was in, offered.
Yeah.
But, you know, as growing up, I always loved to cook, and my family, I have a lot of uncles that have their own places and stuff like that. So I was always around food. But it's something that it's still dear to me, and I really enjoy being a part. And even after I left, where I said, you know, I still want to do this. And now I'm in a position where, you know, like I mentioned before, like, hey, I have, you know, I have a good network, and I can rely on a lot of friends, but now I'm that person. So
now
I can say, now I have a place where I could say, hey, I told it to my students, you guys want to come and learn, and you guys are willing, you know, Glencoe is a little bit far.
Yeah.
It's about 30 miles from the city, but it's a good place. And, you know, I'm willing to teach you as much as I can and give you that opportunity, because I know people are kind of scared sometimes where you have a teenager that doesn't have no experience. But for me, it's like, I really enjoyed. And that's how I ran my classroom. I ran it like a restaurant.
Yeah. So since you left us, you've been torturing the rest of us who don't get to see you very often with your Facebook account and all these pretty, pretty pictures of some of the work that you're doing, and we're just like, oh, stop.
I know. I get that every day. Like, you need to stop, or you're making me hungry.
That's always a good thing. We had so much fun in your restaurant for
thank you. I'm glad. It was nice to see you guys there.
Yeah, that was really nice. Normally when Chef Nicola is inviting us to, you know, a dinner meeting or a cocktail meeting, she always picks really interesting things, but I hadn't seen you in a while, and actually I didn't know you had left ASM, so when we went up there I was like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice that she mentioned it when she was planning the Christmas party, and I said, why don't you guys come up here? And she's like, okay. She's like, it sounds, you know, I'm like, it's a little far, but, you know, it's a Metro ride away, so it's not bad, and you know, it's a nice spot. You know, I'm happy in there, and it's also from seeing everybody. Like, even then this summer, I still did the culinary camp at Airmark.
Okay.
At the University of Chicago, and that was a lot of fun. And it was even more, I had a lot more fun because I had more kids in it. And I did it my first year not knowing what to expect, and I had a really good time. You know, the week we stay there at the dorms. And
oh, yeah.
I went back and I told my students, like, hey, what's better than you leave your house for a week, you come and hang out, you give your mom a break, you take a break from your mom, and you know what? Come and hang out, and you can eat as much as you can, and we're just gonna have fun. So this year, I was fortunate; I had five of my students follow me, and I think at that point, they just wanted to hang out with me. You know, knowing that it was my last year, and I remember telling them, like, "Hey, you know, the day I told them that I was leaving, and it was just so sad. Like, we were all crying, you know, and it was just like I told them, and even till now, like, hey." I did not leave you guys. I'm like, I will always be there for you guys no matter what. If you guys need something, you guys need to talk, just call me. You know, you guys want to come and hang out and play in my kitchen? You know, hey, you have a spot. I'm fortunate that I have people that will support me as well as, like, you know, my investors, that they are big philanthropists, and they're all about helping students and giving back to the community. So we're in the process of doing it more like official and offering even like an internship program and even scholarships. So
nice.
Yeah. So.
That was one of the things I've always considered since culinary school. And like you said, when we were in high school, this kind of opportunity wasn't available. And I really didn't think about it until my senior year. And mostly because, you know, the family, my mother's a computer programmer, and I've been playing with computers since like 4 or 5 years old, and could program in a couple of different languages. And it was just, everybody just knew I was going into computer programming.
Right.
And I just really can't sit at a desk that long. But
I started off as an engineer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was an electrical engineer. I studied that for 5 years, and that was what I was going to do. And I remember going. I was going to transfer to IIT to do electrical engineering and mechanical because I wanted to make robots. And I went in there. Yep, I went in there and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I told the lady, give me my transcripts back. I'm doing something else. And now I'm doing something that somebody once told me, and it stuck to me, that if you complain about your job, and you wake up every morning like, oh, my God, I got to go to work. Oh, I can't wait to leave here. You know, no job is perfect. But I don't mind the long hours. I don't mind, you know, working a holiday. Just being there all the time, and I'm happy doing it. No job is perfect. Obviously, we all know that. But to me, it's not really a job.
Right, you know, and right. I made a Facebook post this week that's really similar. And I'm like, you know, if your heart tells you go left and you don't, how long are you going to quiet that before it becomes a real problem?
Right.
You know, money's fine, money's great, but if you're not at least in your vocation moving towards a goal that you've had, you know, when are you going to do it? When are you going to step into the place that you know you're supposed to be and prosper, not only for yourself, but for others? Because there are people waiting for you to take that role.
Right.
And then you help all these people get along in theirs. And AFM and CCAP have allowed me to do that. This is like my first official teaching job, despite, you know, having to train a whole bunch of adults over and over again in different positions. So I knew that I had a heart for it because my business plan, just like you were saying, I've always kind of wrote in, I want to have interns and I want to help, you know, develop them, and if they want to go to school after being in my little program, I would try to help them. And this gave me the opportunity to officially, you know, make that jump from a production chef to a chef educator. And
right.
I'm enjoying it. It came at just the right time. I was having some health concerns, and I was having a very hard time maintaining a production job. It was
right.
just always so hard on me, and I'm like, I don't know if I can continue to be in the industry. Well, this allows me to do both.
Yeah, and even I took, and I totally know what you mean. Like, I, for a year, I left the hotel, and I was in a good spot. I had a good position. My whole intention was to, I'm going to stay with this company and go open up my own hotel. It was always talked about that. Then I get a call to be a private chef for actually a really wealthy person. And I was like, you know what? Let me give that a shot. I've never done that. You know, especially with a very high-profile client where money was no issue. And I went for, again, weekends off. I probably cooked 3 times a week. And I was miserable because I went from managing a crew of 40 four different units, and now I'm cooking by myself, and I just didn't like it. It wasn't for me, so I had to quit, and you know, and I had to come back to that, and that's how I was so happy that I've made all the connections. I met all you guys, you know, like Chef Taylor, Chef Foxy, who I miss, and Nicola, all of those guys. Where it was just like I felt. Like, I've known you guys for a long time, where it's just we're doing this for the same cause, you know, with Chef Blackman. And I still remember telling him that I had to quit, and it was the hardest thing ever. And he was just coming out of vacation.
Oh, wow,
and
yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, you're not going to like this. And he's just like, don't even tell me. You know, he was like, don't even tell me. But, you know, and I had fun doing it those 2 years, and I still make myself available. You know, and I still try to make, you know, just show up and just seeing, like, my kid Monday and everybody else that I got to, you know, all the other kids from ASM, where you start to get to know them a little more. And, you know, it's like a little family. And, you know, I had a good time doing the benefit, and I still plan on doing it, you know. Now, as long as I'm capable and people are willing to help out, you know, I have no problem doing it.
Yeah, I'm glad I get to see you still at our
definitely. It's always
like
a good time.
Yeah, it's kind of unique. I don't know if it's completely unique. I shouldn't say that off the top. But because I'm strictly after school matters and I'm at one particular high school, I don't get to see many of us very often. So a lot of times I kind of feel like I'm, you know, alone on my island fighting the good fight kind of thing. But the magnificence of Nicola is that she will come to bat for whatever needs to get done from our perspective. So if there's a differing opinion of what to do with the space or when to do it or what the kids should have or not have, she's very much in my corner, like, hold on, why are you doing this to my chef?
Right.
And so,
no, that's a good thing. And she's made it, you know, and even like when I was leaving and I told her too, like, hey, I still want to be part of this. I'm like, the same emails you send to the teachers, I, you know, please let me be a part of it because I still want to do this. I still want to help. And it was. And that's how they were to push, you know, my students, the ones that did keep on competed, like, hey, you need to get on top of your game and turn in this paperwork. Like, why haven't you done this?
Yeah.
Give them that extra little push because they need that. They really did need that. And, you know, and again, I really enjoy doing it. Something that just talking about it, and I know seeing everybody is just, you know, I get teary-eyed just talking, you know, seeing all the guys up there and getting their scholarships.
Oh, yeah, scholarship day. Oh, my gosh. I was like, Nicola almost broke in tears like a tail when we were talking about this one particular young lady, and I had experience teaching her, like, my first semesters I spent at South Shore with Chef Taylor. And then after that session ended, I got transferred to my school. And I was there, a part of that, and now you're a senior, and you know, you won the scholarship so you can go to school. And I was like, please don't cry, because I know I'm going to be right behind you.
I know. Yeah, it was definitely hard. And I know, like, I had one of my students, his mom, and Edwin, you know, who everybody probably knows already his nickname. We call him Linguini. Really wanted to go, you know, really wanted to go to Kendall. And, you know, he got partial scholarship, and he was happy. I know he was holding it in, but we just kind of look at each other, fist pumps, and I'm like, man, I'm so proud. I'm like, you know, we kind of look at each other like, yeah, we're not going to cry. And he's like, all right,
we're macho, we can do this.
yeah, of course.
So for our listeners, I'm sorry, go ahead. I want to just kind of explain to them what we're talking about, just in case they don't know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
After School Matters is a program that was started by Maggie Daly that has a lot of arts and dance and culinary and a lot of different programs that we can offer the high schools and around the city to help get more opportunities for their kids. And, yes, I don't teach English or you know, mathematics, but at the same time I kind of do, because all of that it gets to be part of the core engine. If I can't get you to do kitchen math and you might be struggling, I'm going to have to help kind of tutor you into that because you need it. And it's a really great program that we run through. And then CCAP, Careers in Culinary Arts Program, is a organization that is in multiple states. And what we do is we match the, you know, culinary experience with programming to help bring this whole change about in these kids' lives, especially in the high school level. So this Monday was the day that we handed out scholarships to a lot of the competitors. And the competition, I got to be a judge for the junior competition, and that was really cool. And then the prelim was over. We just finished with the finalists, and we had an awards breakfast, and we gave out over $400,000 worth of scholarships, and that is an amazing thing. You know, a couple of the kids got complete full rides. Some of them got partials and all kinds of different things to move them forward in their career. And I love it. I really, really love it. And to the point where I'm actually a part of another competition. Through the NAACP, there's a program called AXO. And that we got regionals coming up this Saturday. I'm a little nervous about getting everything together. But through that program, it really, we do have a culinary arm, but we also have science through the STEM courses, and we have dramatics and instrumental and poetry and painting. And these are kinds of opportunities that minority kids may or may not have a whole lot of training in, and may or may not have the opportunity to shine and show that they're more than just an ACT or an SAT score. And we run them, and every year we have regionals, and our regionals coming up, our gold medalists from that program, we take to nationals. This year's in Cincinnati. Last year it was in Philadelphia, and the year before it was in Vegas. And that program, we fundraise hard, really, really hard, so that we don't require the families to pay for the trip. All you got to do is pack your bag, bring a little, you know, a little spending money for souvenirs or maybe an extra lunch, and we take them and they meet over 700 other kids from across the country, including Alaska. I had no idea that there was enough minority
wow,
people
that's awesome.
In Alaska to have a chapter. And they get to meet celebrities and dignitaries and educators and, you know, celebrity chefs or whatever, and really get mentored through that program. And they can compete every year their high school career and stack that all together if they win every year to get them off the ground. And I can be mean. I can be kind of strict and all of those things. And sometimes I don't have a whole lot of patience. However, the change that we get to witness from week to week, program to program, and how these kids are progressing is enormous for me.
That's very important too. And I'm pretty sure for a lot of these kids, like just for them, it's the first time they ever leave the city, like a trip like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's something that they probably will never forget.
No, you know? No. Even if you go to nationals and you don't win, you know, medal or a scholarship, you know, you got on an airplane, you went to Las Vegas. You got to see
right.
what that looks like and how does that feel. Some of our, some of the dignitaries that are there for judging and things like that have really impressive pedigrees, really, you know, dynamic careers. And we've had people connect with our kids. It was like, I don't care if you win or not. I want to network with you. Here, I might have an opportunity for you. So there's just so much stuff available. One of our poets last year, he didn't medal, but when we had our regionals, one of the chapter people came and videotaped his spoken word, at least in part, and during our prelims, we got a message from the national director that says, I want this kid to be a part of the closing ceremony. I want that poem said.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so it was broadcasted and podcasted. It went all over. Millions of people saw him do this piece, and then other kids were put behind him to kind of pantomime what his piece was about. And you'll never, you know, come on. That's something he will never be able to just push to the side. That was absolutely brilliant. And CCAP allows us to do that with the culinary kids. And nobody ever would have said, you know, yeah, you know, Elena is going to be a teacher, like, at this level or this. My whole life right now is revolving around teenagers.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, even like people tell me, I have a lot of friends who are teachers, and they're like, you know, it seems like you really enjoy what you're doing. You know, you're doing two different things. You like to teach. I've always liked teaching people, training people. But now it was even more, like, just the kids, you connect. And especially for me, I think, going to Juarez, where it's, like, it's hard. I know, like, those kids, that was me.
Yeah.
You know, we talk the same language, the same lingo, like, the same, you know, I would, perfect example, like, they would tell them sanitation and try to explain it to them. And I would tell them, you know how when their mom leaves that big old pot of pozole sitting on the counter for, like, the whole day? And everybody's like, no. And I was like, come on, our moms do that, you know.
Yes.
Or trying to just explain to them what a stew is. And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, you've had a stew, you know. When your mom does those costillitas, those little ribs in the green salsa, that's a stew. And they're like, oh, yeah. So
yeah.
Just making that connection. And I always told them, like, they always thought that I was from, like, the north side. Or, like, I was like, no. They're like, where do you live? I'm like, I grew up in 25th California, right across Cook County Jail. I'm like, so there's no reason that you say, but you don't understand. I'm like, no, I went through the same thing
yes,
that you
I
guys
did.
Are going through now.
Man,
so I don't want to hear that. It's just an excuse. You guys are being lazy. I'm like, nobody else is going to do stuff for you. I'm like, so take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
And And some of them get it, some of them don't.
Okay. So, yeah, for me, my pedigree started on the West Side, too. I lived at 21st and Costner forever and ever. And back and forth is where my grandparents lived. And then I moved to the South Side, and I'm teaching in a South Side school that's only about 15 blocks from one of the residences I used to have, and it's only about 4 blocks from one of my other grandparents.
Oh, wow.
I was like, and so sometimes, like, visually, a lot of people don't want to put me in a category of African-American until they get to know me. And they're like, but you look Hispanic, or you look this, or you look that. And I'm like, no, I'm you. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, 4 blocks from here, I can give you the address. That was my grandmother's house. Are you kidding? No. They're like floored. And I'm like, I'm you, you are me. You know, I'm not saying that everything should come easy, but when I tell you, you need math, you have to do this. Why are you always making me do this, Chef? Because you need to read and pronunciate and have diction and mathematical skills. You know, I try to get them out of the habit of saying twimps and scrimps. And no, say it proper.
Yeah, say it proper.
They're like, why? And I'm like, because when you get older and you're off of that job doing what you got to do and you end up in a social situation with the boss and the president of the company or whoever, if you drop a word like that, you are confirming a bad image of you in their mind. I said that may be the difference between you getting a promotion or no.
Yeah, exactly. And
you have to control your image.
And then there's always if you act a certain way with your friends, okay, that's fine. That's your friend. But then you have to change your mentality where you can speak properly when you're in a professional setting.
Yes.
And that's what I always try to stress. Like, it's the way you, like, first impressions and how I would always have them come, when they would come into my classroom and then they would see me sitting there and I'd say a word, like, hey, good morning. And I was like, good morning. I'm like, you know what, let's try this again. Go back out. Because you're coming into my room. Don't come in here, you know, like, just ignore me. I'm like, hello, I'm not a wall. I'm like, go back out there, say good morning. And they would come in. Or if they leave. I do it to my servers now.
Yeah.
They come in and they don't say anything. Hey, John, how's it going? Thanks for asking. I'm having a great day. Yeah, everyone too. And they're like, oh, hey, Sean.
Right.
Like, come on. It's just manners.
Right.
Simple manners.
Simple.
You know, and
I do that at work. I worked for a homeless shelter, and I shared an office with the president's secretary. And there was this one particular lady who was not a member of the minority, you know, sets here in Chicago. And every morning, she would come in, walk right past me, and wouldn't say anything. Or worse yet, would come straight at me. I need blah, blah, blah. And every time she did it, I would say, oh, good morning. How are you? I'm doing fine. How can I help you?
Yeah. So eventually, kill them with kindness.
Yes. Eventually, she said, she's like, good morning. I might as well say it now because I know you're not going to do anything for me until I do. I'm like,
that's
awesome. Right. I'm like, I'm not a coffee maker. You know, you want me to do what for you? Okay. Say hi.
Yeah. It's just simple. It's like, please and thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I've always, even my students at the end of the day, thank you. Have a good day. Mm-hmm. You know, my cook, thanks, guys. Have a good day. You know, it's just a man. I've working at the hotel, and I still remember that if you didn't go and say hi to the breakfast cooks, you were on, like, you know, their bad side. And if I saw them at the end of the day, hey, how's it going, Jamie? They were ignoring me. I was like, what's up with you? Well, you didn't say hi to me in the morning. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, or a simple thing, and I always remember when somebody had just got a new haircut. Hey, happy haircut. Oh, you noticed. And I still do it. And I still do it to them, and they're like, hey, what are you talking about? Happy haircut. And they're like, oh, yeah, you noticed I got a haircut. I was like, yeah. I'm like, see, some little things.
Yeah.
So when I get one and I tell them, and nobody's telling, I was like, hello. Like, come on. And then when they say, oh, happy haircut, Chef. I'm like, well, come on, guys. I'm like, some little things, you know.
Right. You know, in the industry and in the classroom, we spend a great majority of our awake hours with other people. How can you, you know, stand next to me for 12 hours a day and be a jerk? Like, I don't understand how that's going to work.
Yeah, no, and I was, you know, I would, you know, I will be, I will still remember Oneida asked me, the very first day I met him, and I walked into the classroom, and they were like, can I ask you a question? I was like, sure. And they're like, she's like, are you like Chef Gordon Ramsay? And I was like, why? She's like, because you look like you could be a real jerk. And I was like, you know what? I used to be, I can be, but I don't want to. I'm like, there's no reason to be. And I've worked with chefs who were really hard on me. But at the end of the day, they were like, you know what? I'm just making you a stronger person.
Exactly.
And I always tell anybody, look, if I yell at you, if I snap at you, hey, guess what? Don't take it personal, because you cannot be in the kitchen and be sensitive. Because guess what? At the end of the day, we're just going to go have a drink and forget about it. But
exactly.
If you're going to be sensitive and hold a grudge and not talk to me and, like, this little petty kid stuff, I'm like, then you're in the wrong business. And the same thing for all the girls, like all the females that I had in my class that wanted to be chefs. And I was like, hey, you need to make sure that you have a presence in there and be able to tell all these boys what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, you know, and I'm pretty sure you went through it where you try to tell somebody and they're like, well, she's a female. And especially working in, you know, like in my kitchen where it's like all Hispanic and they have that macho and nobody told me, you know. That's the even worse. I'm like, so you better make sure you hold that presence where you can tell all these guys what to do.
Yeah.
And if you get that, I'm like, you'll be okay. You know, and she's like, I got a text from her recently, one of my old students, and she's like, hey, they made me chef de partie of my station, and I got two guys in charge. I was like, hey, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the best, you know, that's the best feeling. I'm like, where you are moving up. Also, I always stress, take initiative. You know, like, don't wait for somebody to tell you, hey, are you interested in this position? No, I went up because that's what I saw positions for a supervisor, and I would go and ask HR, what do I need to do to get that position? And just move up. Like, don't wait for people to, if you feel like you deserve it, then hey, speak up. You know, nobody's going to say, hey, I think you should be a supervisor or a sous chef.
Right,
I went in and I'm like, I want to be a sous chef, and what is it that I need to do to be that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and can you help me get there? And they're like, sure, I think you're ready. So, that's very important. That's something I really struck with them.
But
and even just so, go ahead.
Yeah, you're really right on the head of the nail with the male-female dynamic. I mean, chefs have big egos and strong personalities. Hands down, if you don't, you're not a chef. We're all a little crazy. We're all a little, you know, demanding of our own selves. But at the same time, females will get dismissed easily. I would always find myself in a scenario where, you know, maybe a few days into a new job or whatever with these guys, and without fail, they're either going to push a whole lot of work on me to see if I'll cave, or they'll start talking dirty stories or, you know, ugly cussing or whatever to find out if I'm going to be embarrassed or you know, it's going to be a problem. And when I give back the same way they give, they're like, oh, okay, she all right, you know.
She's one of us.
Exactly. And it didn't help it none that, like, okay, I'm 45 now. And when I started, I was like 18, 19, 20 years old. And I look like I'm 12 now. So even back then they were like, oh, this is just some little cute girl that, you know, chef's girlfriend or whatever, and that's why she got hired. And I was like, no.
And I do it, too, now where, like, with my crew, they're like, well, you know, I get on the line and cook. And then I was just like, hey, even one guy told me, and I'll never forget that, we're a lot older. And it's always harder when you have someone younger that, you know, is your boss.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys have been cooking for years. Like, they have twice the experience, like, cooking, you know, longer than I have. And he was like, you know what? He's like, thank you. And I was like, for what? And he's like, you're really impressing me. He's like, you're not like all the other chefs that I've known that just are sitting in their office or doing something. You know, you're always seeing if we're okay, if we need anything, you're always working. I'm like, otherwise I'm bored.
Right.
I'm like, and when I go on the line and cook with them, and they're like, well, wow, this guy can really cook. But he's just not on the, you know, on a nice, crispy, white, clean jacket. I'm like, but he can really throw down. That's a whole other story, you know.
Right, right.
But it was always good, you know. I know, like, working with everybody that I got to meet with CPS and CCAP and, like, Chef Taylor and all of them, and just the experiences that they've had where it was just, like, they weren't just teachers, you know. At some point, they worked at really good restaurants.
Right.
You know, and it was just kind of like, okay, you know, I think if we all, like, I love doing the capstone event.
Yeah,
and,
I haven't done that yet. I want to.
Oh, if you can, you can, you know, try to get in there. And I remember my first year, and I was just kind of like, you know, just from being, again, used to doing, like, food and wine and the bar, the Green City Barbecue, and just doing big. And my thing, I told my kids, I'm like, hey, we're going to go big or we're going to go home. And we're going to show up. I show up with this Japanese, and we're like, we're going to do Japan. I made this Japanese kind of garden thing. And I had all my kids dressed like they were doing sushi. And people were like, who the hell is this guy?
Right,
so
right.
And now they're like, next year, they're like, what are you going to do now? And I saw it where everybody stepped up the game. And it was just cool because, and you know it, between us, as far as we're all working together, even then, there's still a little competition.
Of course.
You know. And that's always friendly competition where we're like, okay, what is he going to do?
Oh, no, you're not going to outshine me. I got a plan for you.
You know, exactly. So it's like, I love that. I really enjoy doing that where between us and like, okay, what are they going to do? You know, and it's like, and even I remember Chef Polk would always tell me like, what are you going to do this time? I'm like, are you going to bring something fancy? And I was like, no, I'm just going to do. And last year, which I didn't know it was going to be my last year, I was like, you know what, we're going to do Spain. And my senior class was all girls. So I had one of the moms do this big backdrop with the Spanish flag. And I was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a tapas bar.
Yeah.
And to this day, like, people were like, that was really cool what you did.
Wow.
You know, I'm like, you had like 20-something dishes. Little ones, but I was like, yeah, it's a tapas bar. I'm like, and we had Spanish music, so it's pretty cool. And
yeah, I've seen it, and I want to do it. I just think right now my students aren't quite there yet, and me and Nicole are both kind of say, well, you know, if you were to do it, you got to have kids that you can rely on. If they, like, flake out, then, you know.
Yeah, and that's
too much.
Hard, and that happens a lot, yeah. And I think I'm grateful enough that I had a bunch of kids that think about it now. You know, a lot of them are coming from single-parent homes, and they were living in, you know, really bad neighborhoods. So for me, I was like, hey, what are you going to do at home? Nothing. You play video games. I'm like, well, why don't you stick around at the school? Help me. I don't have kids.
Right.
So I'm really coming home, you know, to what? To go to sleep. I'm like, and for me, it was just like, I was used to working 12, 14 hours. And now you're telling me I work from 7 to 2? That's just insane.
Exactly.
You know, so it was really weird to me, too, like, being home by 3:30. I was never at home at 3:30. My Saturday, Sunday off, that was like, what do I do? And so it was getting me used to, so I would tell them, like, hey, what are you guys going to do? Oh, nothing. Just go home and sleep. Let's hang out. Let's make pizzas. Let's do something. So even now, like, I know that they enjoy doing that. And it was, if it was just a simple thing as, let's cook something or let's practice to do. I remember for the CCAP, I had one of my juniors from last year every day for that week make each kid an omelet. She was cranking out 30 omelets every single day. By the, I think the third day, the kids were like, Chef, I don't want an omelet anymore. I don't want eggs.
I've had enough.
I was like, I don't care. You're gonna eat it because Sam needs to practice doing her omelets. You know, so. And it's just like, it has to come from the kids, too. And I know some of them, it's sad where they have other responsibilities.
Yeah.
Where they have to go home and babysit or they can't do this. But I can't stress enough of them to take advantages of free money.
Right.
You know, if you know, especially with culinary school being so expensive. And, you know, you really, if somebody's giving you free money, why not? You know?
Exactly. I do have one really strong potential person in my culinary class now. This is her fourth session with me. And because of the gaps between math and reading, nutritional information, I kind of did something a little different with my class. Like the Tuesday, we go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tuesday is nutrition and vocabulary and mathematics. And then we go to Wednesday where if we got a recipe we need to multiply out or however we need to do it, we get that done. We read all the recipes and I, you know, go over, okay, are you tripping on any of the vocabulary words? Does this make sense to you? And we do some prep work and we're out of there. And then on Thursday, we have everything prepped that we need to do. We get at it and then we sit down and we talk about whatever. I take the pictures and, you know, that kind of thing. And it, to me, and I mean, I always loved food, and I had grandparents and parents that would cook all kinds of different things. But it was astonishing to me when I would talk with these kids, and they didn't know the difference between butter and margarine. They didn't even know what margarine was, or, you know, it's just milk. No, what about this milk or that milk? They had no connection. So I had to go back to, like, really basic. I, you know, thought I'd be, oh, we're going to make, you know, coup au vin and Chateaubriand. We're going to be in there having a good time.
Yeah, there's no way.
No way. They have no connection. So
no.
I would tell them things like, okay, next week we're going to make Monte Cristos. Chef, what are you talking about? What is that? And I'm like, okay, think of a really fancy grilled cheese. But why would you want to put, trust me. So the day we first did it, and we started putting together. I had one kid ask me for thirds. I'm like, I don't have enough bread.
Right. No. It's, and that's really cool to see. Like, I always use the example of Ratatouille, where he's showing them the chanterelle and the cheese. And then he's like, I put them together. And I would always do that to them. Like, okay, try this. Parmesan cheese. Like, a really good Parmesan cheese. And they're like, no. I'm like, guess what? I'm pretty sure you're used to the little green container.
The little shaker top on it, right.
Yeah. And they're like, I'm like, no, that's not real cheese. Like, this is real cheese. Or simple as, like, balsamic vinegar, like a really good balsamic.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, no, that's gross. And I'm like, no, try it. I'm like, it's really good. But then again, it's not, you know, I went in there with that same mentality, like, giving them too much info. Then I realized these kids never had, what was one thing that I made for them? Fresh pasta.
Yeah.
Like a properly cooked pasta, you know, like, you know, they're used to mushy, and I cooked one, just like my mom does it today, mushy pasta, and they're like, oh, this is really good, chef, and I was like, no, and then I made the real al dente, and they're like, oh, chef, that's still raw, and I'm like, no, I'm like, it's really good. You know, by the end of the school year, I had been eating medium rare burgers, or at least a medium burger, because I'm like, do you really want to, you know, a really nice Wagyu beef at, well done, or a filet? I'm like,
right,
no, it's not going to taste. Yeah, it's just like, but yeah, it's crazy, and it's, and I'm glad that you do like the whole math thing and the nutrition, because that's important. And I would always tell them, like, hey, you're drinking that. Because we never read that label. And that's
right.
In
oh
our culture.
God. Yeah.
You know, where in your mind, you get that 20-ounce bottle of Coke. Well, you say, that's my serving size. But if you really look at it, and it says 2.5, you should get 2.5 drink servings out of it. You know, same thing with the big bag of Cheetos. What do? You eat the whole bag.
Of course.
You're supposed to only eat 1 ounce.
Yeah, I did, and also the other program I teach, I have 6th and 8th graders, and that's even, you know, like, all of them have been like, Chef, you're trying to get me to not eat anything anymore. I'm like, no, I want you to make informed decisions. So we would take nutrition labels. Okay, it's a box of Oreos. What's the serving size? They're like 3 cookies. When have you ever eaten 3 cookies?
No, never. I still eat a whole pack of Fudge Stripes.
Right. You open the bag, the bag's going to get finished. And so you're going to have to look at it from different eyes. Funny enough, last week I gave them a sheet. And I said, okay, We're going to make diet logs. What do you mean? Every day, I want you to fill this out. What I ate for breakfast, what was my snack, what did I drink, here's lunch, here's dinner, and we're going to put all this out together, and we're going to look at it. Well, I have 18 enrolled. I got 4 back. Okay, no problem. I said, when I said this was mandatory, I was not kidding. Oh, chef, I forgot about it. Da, da, da. So today, everybody who didn't do it properly or didn't turn it in had to sit and recreate from memory all the things that they ate, while the 4 people who gave me theirs, we did all the prep work between us. But no, you're going to sit there and you're going to finish it. And then if you don't finish it, you might as well not come tomorrow because I'm not going to feed you. This needs to be done. Every Tuesday, I do weekend roundup. And I say, okay, what did you eat over the weekend? McDonald's, Portillo's, Wendy's, Taco Bell, fried chicken. I'm like, what are you doing to yourself?
Yeah, and it's a fact, like, you know, I went through that too where I was just eating, you know, I love to go out all the time and go eat everywhere.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of like, you know, I'm 38, and now it's just kind of like, now you're starting to take care of yourself. Well, at least I am, like,
yeah,
watching what I eat now and, you know, exercising. And before it was just like, you know, let's go get something to eat at midnight and we go get tacos or whatever, you know. And
right.
Like,
omelets and milkshakes at 2 in the morning. You know?
Yeah. And now it's just like I have that at 2 in the morning and I'm regretting it the next day. So, and which is important. And that's what I, you know, I was able to teach a class for moms. It was about 20 moms every Monday. I did it for 10 weeks at Juarez. And it was a simple thing of, like, the first day was, how do you properly grab a knife? And I'm having these moms look at me like, you're nuts. Like, what the hell are you talking about? You're going to tell me how to grab a knife? And I was like, well, ma'am, you're doing it wrong. I'm like, and so I think cooking, making a vinaigrette. One day was salads, and I was like, look, stop buying that stuff from the store.
Oh, my God. That sits on the shelf with a ton of preservatives.
Yeah, and I was like, look, you put some herbs, put some shallots, vinegar, and oil. There you go, done. Put it in a little jar, and you have your own vinaigrette. Same thing as making, you know, cooking pot or vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, stop cooking mushy vegetables. I'm like, you lose all that stuff. I'm like,
exactly.
You know, or properly searing and stuff. It's just like, I would see some of my students and I would let them go at it. There you go. Here's a piece of chicken. Cook it the way you see it at home. And it's in a cold can and you just put the, you know, and I was just like, I could totally see my mom doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to, like, even now when I go over to her house and I'm just like, you know, why don't you try to do this? And, you know, put some seasoning or something, you know, and they would see how much salt I would put in, and they're just like, no, I'm like, it ain't salt. I'm like, I've been to a lot of meals, I've had so many meals where it just needed that little extra salt, and it would have been the best meal,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I would always tell these moms, like, look, I'm like, don't be afraid to use it, just make sure, you know, grab your knife right, don't, you know, because you start seeing the stuff at home, you know, just like sanitation and don't leave stuff out for so long.
Right.
And I remember one of my moms came back with one of my students and she's like, what did you do to my kid? And I was like, why? She's like, I have a crazy sanitation kid at home and wipes down everything and makes sure. I was like, well, that's good. I'm like, you don't want to get sick.
Right.
But I think we're so used to, like, having, you know, I actually remember as a kid, and my mom pulled down the ground beef from the freezer and run it, you know, leave it in the counter before, and it sit there all day.
Yeah, let it defrost that way.
Yeah, and it was just like, now, like, no, I'm not doing that, you know, like, you're going to kill somebody one day.
Mm-hmm. Many years ago, my oldest daughter, who's now a freshman at UIC, I think she was in second or third grade, and she came home. They had taught them how to read a nutrition label. And from that point on, it was, I can't drink chocolate milk, Mommy. You know what's in that? I was like, oh, my God. So it was And at first I was like, oh, this is so irritating. And I'm like, yeah, I understand. Yeah. You're eating free lunch at school. It's not the best food in the world, but that's what we need to do. And now she's studying nutrition.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like 3 years ago, she decided to be a vegetarian.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't think I could do that. I love my meat.
When I was little, because, you know, I was born in 1970 and my parents were both hippies, we were vegetarians for a good long time, and then they divorced and my mother married a cop, so that was the end of vegetarianism. I was just going to hang that up. So I've been on both sides, and so I was like, okay, you know, I can support that decision. I said, but I'm not going to consistently make two different dinners. That's
right.
Out. Too much work. If we're making spaghetti, I'm going to leave your sauce in the smaller pan, and the ground beef for the sausages are going in the big pan, and you eat that. So we kind of adjusted like that. Now that I'm having health problems, I had to go gluten-free. I'm a pastry chef who can't eat gluten. This isn't fair.
Wow. Yeah, that's hard.
I'm just like, okay. So now I can't really eat in the streets anymore. You know, can't go through a drive-thru. You can forget it. So I've had to rearrange how I look at the world. So I'm trying to introduce to my students some of these concepts. Brought my daughter there quite a bit. Be like, you know, here's a 19-year-old kid who's a vegetarian. Ask her whatever you want to ask her. And that way they can see that it's just not me bugging them about this, that, or the other.
Right. And I think it's because they don't know.
They don't.
Yeah. They really don't know. And I try, like, all this processed food. And for me, in my case, like, with my family, diabetes, like, it runs. And I remember them checking me all the time. And if they were like, finally, if you don't take care of yourself, at some point, you might have it. And this was like, well, you know, I remember just, like, not being able, both my brother and sister have it. And now my parents have it. And it's just, like, having to not, you know, eating sugar-free popsicles. It still tastes like there's nothing.
Yeah.
Or like Diet Coke and stuff like that. So it was definitely hard. And even now, like, just trying to educate people. Like, I do it to my cooks now. Like, hey, why do you, you know, in my house, you get a pack of tortillas and you eat the whole pack. It's like, no, you just eat one or two. There's no, why do you feel like you have to eat the whole pack? You know,
right.
It's just something that you're used to it. Or like corn. People don't know how bad really corn is.
Yeah.
You know, and I always tell them, I always use this example, and as gross as it is, I tell them, your body cannot process corn, right? So why would you want to eat that?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, corn, so tortillas are good, it's corn, it's fine. I was like, no, it's not. I'm like, it really isn't. And they're like,
yeah,
oh,
and
it's
amazing, some of them. So nutritionally, they're tired of hearing me ask two questions. The first one is, do you eat grits? And they say, yeah, most of them, all of them. So what is it? What do you mean? Okay, you got a garden. I give you every seed known to man. How do you grow grits? They're like, what? How do you grow that? It's a natural product, right? Yeah. They were like, what's a grain? Yeah, you're right, but what is it? None of them knew that it was a corn product.
Yeah.
None of them understood that Kraft Singles and Velveeta cannot call themselves cheese legally.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? I'm like, the FDA says you have to have 52% of milk products in the item to qualify it as cheese. I said, next time look at the label. You will see it's Kraft slices, not cheese slices, or it'll say cheese food. If they have to tell you it's food, you're already in trouble. It's not.
Yeah, it's all those little things. I used to always love showing them videos of, I forget on Netflix, something about GMOs. And
yeah.
I would tell them, like, hey, if you're eating an apple that's the size of a melon, that should be pretty crazy. like, come on, think about it. You know, don't think just because it's the biggest thing, it's not going to be that good. I used
or
to
you
love
those chicken wings that look like dinosaurs. You know, you're like, what?
Exactly. Like, that's kind of weird. I love to travel, and I've gone to many places, and I remember being in Asia and just walking down the beach, and the guy had these huge lobsters. I'm talking about huge. Like, I've never seen them that big. And they're like, oh, look, big lobster. And I was like, yeah, how old is that thing?
Okay.
Like, how is that going to taste?
Straight,
and it's like, yeah, chewy. Like, no, I'd rather have the little pounds.
Yeah.
Baby lobster that's going to be delicious instead of that old thing that's the as old as a dinosaur, who knows? Like,
right, because no one's ever found out how long they live.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, one thing that is educating the kids, too. And that's why I really like just, like, the program, you know, all the programs that are offered. And it's, like, up to now, I get upset because I didn't have that when I was in high school. And it's cool to see, like, even, like, I was able to work with, like, Common Threads and Yeah. events with them, and now that you have all these schools with gardens,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
the explosion of culinary programs is good and it's bad. I've been writing about it a little bit in my blog because a lot of them came on board as a for-profit business, not
right.
a educational facility that's, you know, pretty much a not-for-profit. So what they did in doing so, they made a big mistake. Anytime you have a product that's for profit and you promise that, you know, you're going to have this great job after you graduate, in 6 months' time, a year's time after you get your associates, you'll be making $100,000 a year and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, you made these promises. These kids paid this money. They got your certificate and they can't get employed.
Yeah.
Now we can sue you. And so a lot of them are shutting down. This is going to be the last year for Le Cordon Bleu.
Yeah, which is, I went there, and it's actually kind of sad to see that.
It is. The one I went to
that go.
I went to Lexington, and it's
yeah,
gone.
That one too.
And
yeah, it's
kind of nuts.
It is. And I think the hardest thing too is where they tell these kids, you'll be a chef. And I experienced that. I worked with a girl straight out of culinary school, and she, like, came in and gave me her little business card, and it said chef. And I was like, really? Where have you been a chef before? Oh, I just graduated. I was like, let me tell you, I'm like, you're still not a chef.
Right.
Like,
and I think that's
you.
A generational thing, because I did an interview like this with a girl I've been mentoring for a while, and her name was Santora. And Santora's been in the industry, I want to say, about 8 years. And I asked her, when are you comfortable for someone to call you chef? And for me, it took me a while. Like, I was one of the chefs, but I wasn't chef. And
right.
If you're not in the industry and you call me chef, I'm kind of okay with that. But elbow to elbow on a line with somebody, no. And it wasn't until, let's see, I've had almost 25 years in the industry. It was a good long time before I would allow anybody else to call me chef. No, he's my chef. She's my chef. I just work for them. And
mm-hmm.
It took me a while to get comfortable with it because we were taught to respect it, and we were taught that it really meant something. Just because you got a degree, you know, and you've been in the food and beverage department, or, you know, you've been on cocktail, what? No. Line cook, pastry chef, big difference. Some of the newer ones, they don't get that. I used to work for Chicago Bears, and during that season, I'm probably still to this day, they take a lot of interns during the season because it's a good chance for them to, you know, get some halfway free labor. And our brigade, just to get a game day off, was almost 65 chefs. Yeah, because you got things going on in the skybox and the concessions. You got food everywhere. So
mm-hmm.
I had this nice girl, real quiet, squeaky, 80 pounds, you know, 5'3". Her knife skills were really good. But she kind of talked like this all the time. And I said, hon, what do you want to do? Well, I want to have my own catering company. Okay. How are you going to get there? Well, I plan to do blah, blah, blah. Okay. At least you're not, you know, failing to plan, which means you'll be, you know, putting your own demise in. You're starting to put together an order operation. Cool. I said, look down the line. She said, yeah. What do you see? bunch of guys. I said, yeah. The average guy on this hotline is 6'2", 220. You know, he's got a barrel chest and swole arms from, you know, doing what we do, and they're over there rocking. A portion of them might be overtired. Another portion of them might be on some kind of substance.
Yeah.
You're standing here. How are you going to get their attention? You know, walk out of your office and this is what you see. How are you going to get your brigade to listen to you? Well, no. The guy on the end, he can't hear a word you're saying. Dig deep. Get big. Understand that no, you will never be a guy, and no, you should never act like a total guy just to get along with them. But you have to have some bravado. You have to have a backbone. This is hard work. They're not going to listen to somebody who isn't hard like them. That doesn't work.
No, they have to have presence. And
yeah. Show your ego. It, we like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have, you know, I was able to, you know, working at NOMI and at the Park Hyatt, where I got to work with, you know, it was the time that we still get together and talk about, like, the people that we worked with.
Yeah.
And it was a great crew, and everybody at this point is a chef. You know, getting to work with Chef Kirkley, Matt Kirkley, who did L2O, you know, 2 Michelin star, and all these different guys, and it was just at a different level. And we still, to this day, like, I see them, and it's not, you know, personally to me, chef, you know, because I still respect them that way. It's just like, and he's just like, he sees things that come on now. You know, but it goes both ways. It's not like, at no point we ever call each other by our names. It's always been like, chef, you know. And I've known these guys for years. Like, they're like my brothers, and it's still like, chef, how you doing? You know, like, how's it going? And it's just like, I just spoke to him. I worked with him, too. We worked together on the line. He was another chef, and he's actually a doctor now.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a surgeon. And every time I talk to him, it's just like, no, I'm not going to say, hey, how's it going? No, it's like, no, he's a doctor. Like, come on, you've worked.
Yeah,
you earned it. You know, it's like, you're a doctor. I'm giving you that respect. And he's like, oh, stop, come on. I'm like, no, doctor, I'm like, come on.
Mm-mm.
And so he's like, all right, well, I'm going to keep calling you chef. So I was like, sure, you know, but, yeah, it's just something that I think now kids, they have to realize, and it's just not calling anybody. You know, you got to earn it. And it's just, and work hard for it, you know. Nothing. I always say, don't wait till somebody gives it to you, and you know, take initiative and you know, take advantage of it, because there's so much stuff that, like, with scholarships, just free money laying around, and stop being lazy. You know, that's like the main thing. Just,
you work your butt off, but. You know, at almost any level, you can never say that you starved working in this industry.
No.
There's always work.
Yeah, and I told one of them, like, look, you're a good cook, you're a chef. You can work anywhere in this world. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere on the planet. Because guess what? People need to eat. Somebody needs to make that food. Somebody has to cook it. So you could go anywhere and get a job.
Yeah.
And you know, I had kind of that problem at the school where it was some teachers, you know, you get the math teacher. The math department was kind of weird, where they were like, oh, well, we're math, and we're better than you. And, you know, I told them, like, hey, they kind of didn't really think that, you know, why is your culinary program here? And I was like, well, okay, you're teaching them all this, you know, all these equations and stuff. The kid can't tell me, you know, how many cups in, you know, in ounces. And
you
can't really tell me that fractions. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I'm going to show them. I'm going to teach them and put it into, I'm like, if that's the case, put it into how they're going to use it.
Right.
You know, how are they going to use it in the real world? I tell them how many, you know, and I would always tell them, and maybe I was wrong for it, like, how many ounces in a gallon? They were like, well, what does a gallon look like? A gallon of milk. A gallon of bleach.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Very much so.
And how much is a pint? I don't know. I'm like, you know that tall glass of beer your dad drinks? That's a pint, you know,
mm-hmm.
or a shot. How much is it in a shot? Oh, an ounce. Well, I don't know how much, huh? It's a shot. So next
yeah.
time you're drinking shots, you know, you're doing an ounce of liquid or something. And it's just like
yeah, you
taking
want
it to somewhere.
Pythagorean theorem, but I've got a kid that doesn't know what 12 times 12 is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just kind of like, and I told him once, and I was like, you go tell your teacher that if he gets fired here today, how long is it going to take him to find a job? You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, so at this point, you can at least feed yourself, you know, and you can cook. And I was like, hey, at least if you're not, I always said, I don't expect everybody to be a chef in this classroom. If you want to cook, great. I'm like, but I'm going to teach you not to starve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make that ramen noodle instant pack, you're going to make that, but I'm going to show
you. On it.
Yes, put an egg, and I did it. I was like, hey, this is how you do it. And I did it just the way they would do it because I would do it as a kid. I'm like, look, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to put an egg. I'm going to put some bacon in it. I'm going to put some meat, some vegetables. I'm going to add a little bit of salt. Which one do you think is better now? And they're like, oh, we like yours better. I'm like, see, it's a simple thing. You know, it's those little simple things that you, I'm like, but now I had a kid who I could never get him to wear his uniform. And I was like, bro, why don't you? He's like, why are you? I'm not the enemy here, man. I'm not. So why are you not wearing it? I don't like wearing it. I was like, look, man, you're a handsome dude. I'll give you that. I'm like, girls like guys in uniforms, man. And especially when you come in a chef and you come in your nice little white, you know, I bet you're going to get all this attention. And
exactly.
Sure enough, he came in. He's walking down the halls and everybody's like, hey, what's up? You know, and I was just like, dude, I told you. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's just like, yeah, you're right. And I was like, I told you. I was like, you know, as corny as that sounds, I'm like, but, you know, and you come around and you say, hey, you know, and even now, I'm pretty sure with you, when people are like, hey, what do you do? I'm a chef. And people are like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. You have a cool job. You know?
Yeah.
So,
it's a psychology, and I'm not quite sure what it is. One of my very good friends, he's the chairman of the board on the other scholarship program that I work with, and a lot of the board actually are architects. And we have one in particular that we're all associated with who is an astounding chef and architect.
Wow,
so
that's pretty cool.
And we have these, you know, esoteric kind of conversations. We were at the Bud Billiken parade last year, and we were standing around with, you know, a bunch of architect students at different levels and blah, blah, blah. And me and another chef noticed that the minute we said, no, I'm not an architect, I'm a chef, like, you could see the look on their face turn, like, oh. And we started talking, like, why do you think that is? And I'm like, I don't understand. Okay, you're younger than me, and that's fine. And I work differently than you, and that's fine. But they had this thing where it's like, well, I'm not a professional because I don't do what you do.
Exactly.
And I didn't get that. So eventually, a young lady was sitting down next to me, and we were chatting, and she's not from Chicago, so we were talking about a whole bunch of everything. And I said to her, well, you do understand that what I do is applied chemistry. And she looked at me like, you're right. You do understand that what I do involves a lot of common everyday math. I'm not trying to get the circumference of a circle.
Right.
But at the same time, she's like, you're right. I'm like, all that stuff I did in chemistry class that I didn't like doing, I'm now doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get that.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, but I am a professional. You know, I do hold a master's in business. So I was like, wow, really? It was almost like you could just see that second and they would just kind of turn away and stop talking to you.
Yeah, it is pretty, you know, it is pretty crazy. But then, again, I've been reading a lot of articles where it's just like people that aren't in the industry, like they won't know, you know, just what you go through, like the whole night,
yeah.
At the end of the night, just like, I put up something on my Facebook about how you always wait till like your closing time, and then somebody decides to come in. You know, I don't do that. If you're closing, guess what? I'm not gonna go to that place. I'm not gonna be that guy that says
that's holding up the whole crew.
Exactly. When I could have left a while ago, you know, it's like no. I'm like, or you know, just constantly complain or something. I'm like, because I know that. I'm like, I'm not. You know, and I always tell people, like, take care of your service people, you know. And even my friends, I'm like, no, let's take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, they...
Oh, yeah, that's a big problem. And I'm kind of, because I'm having the health problems and have to go gluten-free, I kind of feel really bad because those were the type of customers that I did not like when I was doing production. You know, you got to answer 500 questions about how it's made, where it's coming from. Oh, I have this allergy. I have that allergy. And it would irritate me like, well, you saw the menu. And if it's something that you couldn't, don't ask me to change the recipe. Pick something else.
Right.
And
oh,
so
I
now,
go through that every day. Every
yeah.
Day.
And oh, God. And so, like, right now, I just kind of feel like, oh, my God, I can't eat gluten. Oh, like,
yeah,
what am I doing? It's been really hard. It's been about a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I haven't found a gluten-free bread I like, so I just won't eat a sandwich. You know, I'd rather
not. You know
not.
What? Look into, now I just said that, into Senza. Somebody told me that.
Okay.
Apparently, they make a really good gluten-free English muffin. And I think it's the same guys who did Senza, the restaurant. And
okay.
They're doing that. They have a bakery. So I think they have, like, really good bread.
Cool. Very cool.
So a little side note on that. Yeah, no, I go through that thing all the time. And you saw the restaurant, the clientele there. It's, you know, it's a lot of older people.
Yeah.
You know, I just had a lady who was in celebrating her 100th birthday.
Nice.
And, yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty cool to see her, you know. And she was walking around, having a couple drinks, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. But then again, I get the ones that's like, they're really crazy allergies, gluten-free. And I, you know, I try to keep my menu where it's simple and focus on the ingredient, and that's it, you know. Less is more. And
yes.
They want to come in here, like, with my omelets. And we, like, I make a vegetable omelet. So, for example, I did braised leeks, asparagus, and ricotta cheese. And they come in here, like, can I get an omelet with mushroom and peppers? Well, no, because I don't have mushroom and peppers. It's this omelet. Pick something else. Or
yeah,
can I add avocado to it?
Yeah, I was talking to my brother. He had a customer ask him for an eggless omelet. I'm like, excuse
no.
me?
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
The best one, and I kid you not, that I had was, can I get a burger, half of it medium rare, and the other half well done?
Pardon.
And I was like, what? I'm like, how? I'm like, no. And they're like, well, come on. I'm like, can't you do it? I was like, no. How are you? I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's just, but there's also common sense with people. Like, people should have, you know, it's just like, can I get a taste of this? And it's like, I'm not going to go to your house and before you invite me for dinner and you come in and, can I taste what I'm going to have for dinner so that if I don't like it or I could go somewhere else? Like, come on now. You know,
yeah.
I get it that you're paying for everything,
but
you know, you're still.
Yeah, there's still so only so much, and you got to communicate. I still do custom cakes and wedding cakes from my house. And I think it was about 2 weeks ago, one of the party planners that used me frequently sent a family over, and we sat down and we talked. When I was asked to do the tasting, all they were looking for was cake. Okay. So we're sitting down and we're talking, and they started talking about a sweet table and chocolate-covered strawberries and how are your eclairs and da-da-da. And one of the young ladies asked me, well, can we sample that? And I'm going, no, because I only heard about you 2-3 days ago, and I'm not going to make a whole batch of eclairs so you can have one.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't have time for all of that. I didn't know that that's what you wanted to taste. I provided cake. They said they're interested in cake. That's what I gave you.
Right.
So I got an email from the party planner and was like, I don't know what happened. You know, and she went over some points that you know, they shared disappointment with her or whatever. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, I am okay with them going with another vendor. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But for you to say that it was upsetting to you that my cat was in the house when you had your pasting, and I asked you at the door if you were afraid of cats, do you want me to put her away? And you said no. So then why is it coming up later that you had a problem with the fact that I own a cat? How does that work? I was like, no, I'm good. I'm like, when you get, you know, time, we'll chat later. But, yeah, good luck with that party. I hope it works out for you. I'm glad I'm not part of it.
Yeah, at that point, it's just like, I don't even want your business.
Nope, not at all.
No, because you could just imagine that day how it's going to be.
Exactly. And I've dealt, and this wasn't even a bridal. I've dealt with some bridezillas, and they've actually been better than some of the first birthday mothers that I've encountered. Oh, my God, talk about picky, and I keep looking at them like, number one, it's a cake. Number two, the kid's not going to remember.
But
it has to be sunshine yellow, not marigold yellow. And I just kind of shake my head, okay, you're spending $250 on a cake for a one-year-old's birthday, and that's before the smash cake and what and food. Before we make this, like, super long, because you and I can talk forever.
I know we can.
There is one question that I've asked everybody that's come on this podcast, and I've never gotten the same answer twice. The question is this. What is your first food memory?
Oh,
yeah, I like that one.
That's a good one. Yeah, that is a good one. I still remember the going to Mexico, and my grandma would make an omelet, but she would like tell us, "Go get me eggs. Go." First of all, I'm a city kid, and I'm afraid of chicken. And they're go move the chickens off the, you know, off its nest and go get some eggs. And she would come in, and they were nice and warm still. Mm-hmm. And she would get, like, she would put it in a little bowl and just, with a fork, not even a whisk, and make the fluffiest, like, omelet. And not using oil, it was using manteca, you know, you were using lard. And, like, the good one, so it still tasted like pork. And it was just, like, I still remember that all the time. Yeah. And every time I tried, you know, and just the smell of her making it in her little wood, because it wasn't even a stove. It was over, like, a wood fire.
My great-grandmother had one. Oh, my God. She had a wood-burning stove in the house.
Yeah.
And even, like, my grandmother kind of, like, remodeled the farmhouse for her. I remember when they put in the first indoor bathroom. And we bought her a gas stove, and she never used it. She hated it.
Yeah, no, it was the best thing. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I've had so much food that I still remember, but that's one of the best things I still remember. I always remember that egg and just, you know, the smell, just the smell of it.
Yeah.
And omelet. It was a simple thing, an omelet.
Omelet. It's very simple. But I think...
Yeah.
Those of us who do this, even if they're not chefs, I talk to some foodies as well, there is that tradition, that richness, that early memory, 4, 5, 6 years old, and great-grandma, grandma could, you know, have passed away long time ago, but you remember that smell. You remember that feeling. It's always there. And I think for us chefs, that's the beginning of the thought of how important food is.
Yeah, and I can remember watching The Frugal Gourmet, our channel.
I loved him. Oh, my God, it was my favorite.
And he was making omelets. He was making omelets. And I remember trying to make it myself. And I remember doing still, I would call it the Marco's McMuffin. And, of course, we didn't have muffins because my mom had no idea what muffins were. And it was just getting 2 pieces of bread, and it was an egg sandwich.
Yeah.
And people were like, hey, can you make me one of those? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, just like, and even now, like, I still will taste stuff, and I was like, wow. I'm like, I remember when I first had that. To this day, I can't eat jicama. Can't stand
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My dad used to make us eat it all the time. And
there you go.
To me, it's just like, it's gross. I'm like, I really don't like it.
That, for me, bean sprouts, because like I said, we were vegetarian, and so there was a lot of bean sprouts.
Yeah.
And to this day, I'm just like, no, go away.
Yeah, or even beans. I used to not eat beans, and now I love them, and it's just like, well, I'm not. They're like, how come? They're like, you're Mexican. How do you not eat beans? I'm like, we never ate them when I was growing up. You know? I'm like, but I will tell you this, where every time I eat Popeye's chicken, it just reminds me of childhood, you know, of all the things, because we used to eat it all the time, and I love that stuff. It just, you know, it was a simple thing of, you know, as bad as it sounds, it's just like, of where we would get together like family and just eat, you know, have, sit down and have Popeye's.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, and I always tell people, like, hey, remember, do you remember the first, like, what do you remember, like, when you eat this? And people are like, oh, I remember being in, you know, Mexico, or remember this. And, you know, I still remember a great meal, everything, every single plate that I had when I was in Thailand. And, you know, being in the alley with my feet up over a crate because there's huge rats underneath. But I had the best, like, it was shark fin soup.
Oh, my God.
You know. And I was just like, really? This is like, we're in the alley sitting here at midnight. But it was just like the best meal. You know, one of the best meals I've had.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an adventure a lot of times.
Yeah, no, it is. The and last... I always tell people, like, hey, have you ever
Why
had
not?
No.
You know, so the things you turn down end up being the things you regret.
Yeah, and I would always tell my students, like, look, there's going to be two things. Either you're not going to like it, you're either going to throw up, or you're going to have to run. Okay, that's it, right? You're going to have diarrhea, and you're going to be okay, but maybe you're going to like it. I'm like, and or I don't like it. Have you ever had it? No.
Exactly.
That's my goddaughter.
Oh,
hey,
my gosh.
Have you ever had Chinese food? Have you ever had Chinese food? No, I don't like it. I'm like, have you ever had it? No. I'm like, so how do you know you don't like it if you never had it? Because I already know. You know, I'm like, and I'm talking about real, authentic Chinese food, and she's like, no, I'm not going to like it. And now she's always like, hey, can we go get Chinese food?
I thought
you didn't like it.
Yeah,
know?
That's my number one agreement in my classroom. We are going to make it, and you are going to taste it. So that's how I count my victories. One of my students has been with me for all five classes I've taught over there. He asked me about 2 weeks ago, Chef, I always see you with these smoothies, and they look so good. Can you make us one? I said, okay. So today I brought in the kale, the spinach, the green apple, the banana, the mango, a little pineapple juice, and I made them, and I poured everybody a couple of ounces. Half the room was like, oh, can I get some more?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I want to hear. You know, the day I convinced Kaya to eat rainbow coleslaw, and she loved it. Yes. Coleslaw's fancy. I'm like, no, it's not. Oh, the little one from Popeyes or KFC. No, coleslaw, not that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they don't get it, and it is always like nice to see people, you know, just trying things for the first time, and they're like, wow, this is really good, you know. And you know, I think for a lot of people, it's just the mental, like, you know, textures. But people don't like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm big on texture. That's why I don't eat a lot of internal organs. I don't like the texture.
Yeah, I see, like, for me, like, it's just like we had two African-American kids in the classroom. Everybody else was Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all talking about, like, how can you eat tongue? You know.
How can you eat goat?
De lengua? You know, how can you eat goat? I was like, you have it. You've had goat. You've had lamb. No, I haven't. Well, when you have barbacoa and birria, you eat that.
Right.
You know, like, how can you eat, like, for example, they're like chitlins. Oh, those are good. They're like, oh, that's nasty. You eat those when you eat tacos and tripas. We just cook them a different way.
Exactly.
No, it's not. I was like, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been doing a lot of education about meat awareness, show them the slaughterhouse videos. take over mm-hmm. all this. And they're like, why are you doing this? Because you don't have any respect for the pork chop until you've seen the pig it came from.
Yeah. And I do that with my cooks, too. I'm like, I'm not spending all this money on these farmers that who spend all day taking care of this really beautiful lettuce for you to just dump it in an Alexa and dump it in there. I'm like, no, stand it up straight. Like, for sure, respect. I'm like, it's not, you know, I'm like, you got
to
treat it
differently. Something had to die for you to have dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
What if we weren't so high up on the food chain? Maybe we were, you know, third or fourth, and if we go outside, the big, giant, prehistoric bird came down and snatched one of you.
Yeah, that is true.
How would you feel? Oh, I'm just dinner? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I used to have a Swedish chef that I worked with, and when we would take our live lobsters, you know, we would take the bodies, break it down half, right?
Yep.
He would hate if he would see people take the claws off first and then the body.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everyone was like, why does that make the same thing? Well, come on. How would you like if somebody pulled your arms off first before they cut you in half?
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. So now it just stuck to me, and I just take the body out and then take the tail up and then the claw.
Yeah. There is a big disconnect with the kids that we teach because I don't think a lot of them have opportunities to be around people who farm and stuff like that. My great-grandmother was in Virginia. I would go and spend almost the entire summer down there. There were chickens in the yard. There was crops in the field behind the house. You know, one day I rolled into the coming up in the house. As soon as we get out the car, we're hearing kablam, kablam. What is going on? My great auntie is in her house coat with a 12 gauge shooting at the snakes that were going to bother her chickens.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's different times too, and it's pretty sad where these kids don't, you know, it's as simple as, hey, let's just go get drive through. And, you know, I always tell them, like, if a cheeseburger costs you 99 cents, do you think it's good for you?
Exactly. If a 2 liter of soda pop's 99 cents, but the same amount of orange juice is $7, why is that?
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
it makes no sense.
I'm like, you have to grow the orange. You can't pick oranges all year round. Chemicals you can make in a lab.
Yeah. I like doing the actual gram and showing, you know, and it says in the back just how many grams are of sugar.
Yeah.
And actually showing them the amount.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, hey, this is, why don't you just eat the sugar?
Right.
You know?
I'd rather see you chewing on sugar cane.
Yeah, exactly. Than drinking that, you know, can of soda or that sugary, you know, fruit juice. I'm like, the little barrel juice. Oh.
Well, I didn't read the package or why should. Okay, so, all right. Pick it up. Start reading the ingredients. Mono, that's it. You can't even pronounce it.
Yeah. If you can't pronounce it, it's not good to eat.
Then it's not real food.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It has been so good to talk to you, darling.
Likewise, Chef.
Really, really admire you and appreciate you. And I will get this podcast all edited and beautiful, and we'll hit you up with the link once it's going to launch on this Sunday. And I have a feeling that it was very, very good that we did it today, because after the competition on Saturday, I don't think I'll have a brain cell that's going to be working really good on Sunday.
Yeah, no, good luck with that. You know,
oh,
and,
I love
and really,
it.
And I mean it, you know, like I tell everybody else, and if there's anything that I can do, and, you know, I'm there, because I really enjoy just the fact of what we do. You know, and I tell people, and they just love the fact that this is what we, you know, that we do. We're taking the time off and, you know, showing with our busy schedules and everything. And just, you know, for me, it's not a job. And if I could get somebody to eat better and just understand food and, you know, stop buying, you know, processed food, then, hey, you know, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, just I for a long time, I don't want you to walk blind through the world. And I don't, if you want to eat junk food on occasion, I had a Big Mac the other day. That's not the issue. The issue is that you never take stock and think about it. You never examine it. I'm like, I want you to be 94 years old, surrounded by grandkids and great grandkids, and you fall asleep one night and never get up. That's how I want to see your life progress. I don't want you, in a wheelchair at 34 because I had to cut your feet off because you got diabetes.
Right. Yeah, that's the big one. And even too, it's like how many times now, like you hear back, growing up, people, oh, they have cancer. You
Yeah.
hardly ever heard that. And now it's like this person has cancer, this person has cancer, and it's just like it's insane. It really is.
Yeah. I went through that through my grandparents, who I was really, really close to. My grandfather had a massive heart attack at like 45. They retired him. My grandmother worked a lot longer than he did. We went through all kinds of things when they were getting older and, eventually passed away. It was a lot of stuff. And
Yeah.
right now, I take 10 pills a day. I have no problem taking out my daily dose, putting it on a table, and say, I don't want you to be in a position where you have to do like I do.
Right.
So,
Yeah, and
yeah.
especially when they're that young, and I think it's up to, it's up to us and to educate them and especially too for our cultures, it's the same thing.
Right.
And it's
Hypertension, sickle cell, diabetes, prostate cancer. We're dying 10 years before some of the other racial groups in our country. Our life
Yeah.
expectancy is 10 years shorter. Something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Thank you, darling. I will
Thank
let you
you.
know when we process all of this, and we'll definitely talk again.
No, definitely. And it was a pleasure. And anytime.
Thank you so much, Chef.
Okay. Bye-bye, Chef. Have a good night.
You too.